Got a good crowd with us today. Appreciate seeing everybody out. Anyhow, I got thinking last week after the talks that we got last week from Brother Brandon about how to we need to study and set goals for ourselves and kind of measure ourselves on growth, what we need to do. And even Brother Tim's class on talking about how the old way was of sacrifices, and he talked about it this morning that they're no longer there, but Christ is better. And then also Brother Matt talking last week about Satan and the strategies of Satan, and Zach talking about what we'll do with Christ. Wonderful lessons. So when you hear talks like that, you wonder, well, why ain't everybody converted? Have you ever wondered that? We've heard a lot of lessons through the years. I know I've heard a bunch of them. But why isn't everybody converted? You'd think that they would be. When you hear lessons brought forth like that, I guess as an introduction, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the 21st verse. It says, "The world by wisdom knew not God, and it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." When you go to thinking about why everybody is not converted, and I guess if I was to give a title to my talk, that's what I'd give, is why everybody's not converted. But the world by wisdom, as the world sees wisdom, they don't know God. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to those that believe. You know, this is not a new problem. I think of the gospel message. You know, I read that there, of course, every month when I get it. And there's a small portion in the back, "Glory to God." And it talks about the new converts that's believed and been baptized. Have you ever looked at that and how many there is? And this covers a wide area. What is there? Sometimes 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 that's been converted. And you think of all the wonderful lessons that's been given, and you think more should be. We think in the book of Acts, and you read in there, and you read of the thousands that were converted. Remember, before the day of the Pentecost came, how many disciples was he? Did they say it was numbered then? How many? 120. 120 disciples before the day of Pentecost. And then we're told of how the Holy Spirit descended upon those apostles, and they was able to speak in tongues. And how there's devout people gathered from all nations around. How many was saved that their day? 3,000. 3,000, that's a big number, isn't it? But when you go to thinking about the amount of multitude that was there, this was a small number. This is not a new problem. When I got to thinking about this, I got to thinking, well, what is the problem? We know some things that we know is not the problem. And let's take a look at a few of them. In Romans, the first chapter and the 16th verse, Paul writes to the church there. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God. It's not the gospel. Peter also carried on this here thought in 2 Peter, the first chapter and the third verse. Peter writes here that God had given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The Bible's complete. It's sufficient. So it's not the gospel. It's not a problem with the gospel. So what is it? Could it be? Could it be maybe us? Maybe the preaching of the gospel. You know, we think back in the book of Acts, and we think about all of your disciples that were converted. And we're told in the 7th chapter about the stoning of Stephen, that he was stoned to death, the first martyr. And what happened to the disciples when persecution arose? The scriptures tells us in that 8th chapter of the of books of Acts that they were scattered everywhere. And as they were scattered everywhere, what did they do? They preached the word. Do we do that? Maybe that's one of the reasons that people's not converted today. Maybe we don't preach Christ enough. Maybe we are not willing to open our mouth to the people that we meet in the daytime. Well, we say, yeah, well, I live a good life. They see how I live. But do you tell them about why you live that life? Maybe that's a reason they're not converted. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, and the 15th verse, and of course this gets into Christ's Sermon on the Mount. And one of the things he warned the people then, he said, beware of false prophets, because they come to you in sheep's clothing. They're like raving wolves. He said, ye shall know them by their fruits. So maybe a reason that people are not converted now, maybe it's a polluted gospel that's being taught. Paul wrote to the Galatians, carry on this, your thought a little bit more, in the 1st chapter, about the 8th verse, well, 6 through 8 or 9. He talked about that he's surprised that they were so soon moved from the gospel that had been taught to them. He said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other doctrine that we have taught unto you, let him be accursed. In other words, yeah, there's false teachers out there. And as in Brother Brandon's talk last week of studying and growing and knowing the scriptures, how important that is. Because if there is something added to the scriptures or taken away from the scriptures that pollutes the gospel, it's important for us to know that. But these are things, most certainly, can cause a person not to be converted. Another thing we know that is not why people ain't converted. Sometimes we think of, well, I've sinned too much. I've done so many different things bad that God wouldn't want me. Let's turn our Bibles over to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, if you would. Paul, here in his letter to the Corinth, he addresses this thought. Starting with that there, 6th chapter and 9th verse, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to what that 11th verse says. And such were some of you, but ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the Spirit of the Lord. Is our sins too many? These people, do you think of all these things that was mentioned? He said, such were some of you, but you're clean now, you've been sanctified. Jesus' blood is enough, and they can wash away all sins. So our sins are not too many. They're not too big that Jesus' blood can't take it away. Another thing that we know it's not, a lack of God's grace. Some people say, well, God's grace don't cover me. And I know what they're thinking of, and Tim brought this out some in class this morning. Yeah, God's people at one time was just the Jews. That was His people. He brought them out of Egypt and gave them the Ten Commandments and wanted them to worship Him and told them together three times a year. The Jews was God's people. But what about now? Let's go over the book of Titus, the second chapter. Tells us that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. The grace of God that appears, that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Also in 2 Peter, the third chapter, and the ninth verse, God's not willing that any should perish. That's 3 and 9. But that all should come into repentance. God's salvation, His grace, is it covers everybody. It's not just the Jews. But it covers all men. And the Scriptures bring this out. So we know it's not God's grace. So why is it then? Why are people not converted? Let's take a look at just a few examples. If I was to take time and write these up there, it'd take me too long, and I'm a bad speller anyhow. But I'd put first, lack of spiritual concern. A lack of spiritual concern. That's one reason people are not converting. Let's go over to in the book of Acts, the 24th chapter, and we have an example of this. This is a case when Paul was he was in prison and he was brought before Felix. And what I'd like to cover is just three verses here of chapter 24, verses 24 through 26. He said, after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way. At this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Said he had hoped that money should have been given him of Paul. Lack of spiritual concern. This is a prime example. A lot of times we set our things on material things, and this is what Felix had done. Not something spiritual. But he sent for Paul more often because of the fact he thought, well, Paul would give him money where he could loose him from his bonds. Sometimes we today get caught up in material things. And because of this, we're not converted. Let's go over to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Go along with this thought. In this 13th chapter, he talks about the parable of the sower. Remember, the sower went out and sowed seed, and some fell by the wayside. But the one I want to look at is the 22nd verse. He says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. A lot of people are not converted. And even after they are converted, let me put it this way. The cares of this world comes up and chokes that word from you. Because it's the material things, our spiritual concern. Where are they? We're supposed to put God first in our lives. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. The first commandment. lack of spiritual concern. A lot of times it takes depression to get people thinking about God. And I say depression. Because a lot of times we get to thinking, well, our job's more important, our home is important, and stuff. And we get to thinking of those airlines, and that's the material things. But it takes an accident, a sickness, a death, to get people thinking about God. A depression. A lack of spiritual concern. Over in the book of Hebrews, we have our next example that I want to use. Hebrews 11th chapter. Another reason why people are not converted is a love for sin. I just state it right outright. A love for sin. We're given the example here in this 11th chapter. And of course, when we go to thinking about the 11th chapter of Hebrews, this is the faith chapter where it talks about all the different brothers in the past that of the excellent faith that they had. Start with a 24th verse. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. This Moses, son of the daughter of Pharaoh, he had everything of material that a person could want. If we just want material things. But he rather suffered the reproach with the children of Israel rather than to enjoy sin for a season. Some people would rather enjoy the sin. They have a love for it. But the scriptures show us that we shouldn't have. Over in the book of Romans, the 6th chapter, 17 through 18, said, God be thanked that whereas you were the servants of sin, says you have obeyed from the heart that doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You know, a servant is a person that, and servants was a common thing back in Bible days. Or you might say a slave. But they was in under bondage to the master. Here he says, you was in under bondage to sin. You know, some people allow themselves to be in under bondage to sin. He said, but you don't have to be. And that's what he brings out here. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness through Christ. We're free from sin. We don't have to be under that bondage anymore. Some people enjoy it and allow themselves to be there. I think of over in some people, I guess, just don't want to change. And I think it's Luke, the 13th chapter, where it talks about, yes, the 13th chapter. Here, Christ is talking, and he's talking about the Galileans. And Jesus said, says, there was present at the season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus answering unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? He says, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Some people are not willing to change. Remember what was told the people in the second chapter of Acts repent and be baptized? Change. You're no longer under sin. You don't have to be in under that bondage. But you do need to change your life. And that's what he's talking about. If we don't change our lives, and if we're not converted, we'll be no better than these Galileans. Just a bit. Another reason why people are not converted. I'm glad I don't have to write this up there. Procrastination, if I can even pronounce it. That's a big word. I think everyone knows what that means. Putting things off. And in this case, putting Jesus off. People are not converted because they think, well, oh, I've got a lot of time. I'll obey the gospel some other time. Let's go over back over to the book of Acts. We've got a good example over there. The 26th chapter. Here Paul, in another situation, was brought before Agrippa. And starting with the 26th verse of the 26th chapter, it says, For the king knoweth these things, says, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. It says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? He says, I know thou believest. Listen to what Agrippa said. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me. People put Christ off. Even though you know what God wants you to do, you know that Jesus died for your sins and that He wants you to be immersed and to rise to walk in newness of life, yet you put Jesus off. We think, oh, some later time I'll do it. And sometimes that later time never comes. Procrastination. When we go to thinking of putting Jesus off, and I have to think of other places here in the book of Acts, and we're going to look at a couple of them, of becoming hard-hearted. In other words, you hear something so much, you know what God wants you to do, but you just kind of let it go right over your head. Where do you become hard-hearted at? Because you keep putting Him off. And there's a fine line between procrastination and putting Christ off and becoming hard-hearted. Let's look over in the book of Acts, the 7th chapter. Again, this here is where Stephen was before the Sanhedrin, before they took him out and stoned him. Listen to what he said in that 51st verse. It says, Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do ye. Becoming hard-hearted, he said, they're stiff-necked. They've heard this here, and they know what God wants them to do. But they're uncircumcised in heart. He used uncircumcised because the children, when he was talking to them here, they knew what circumcision was. To be circumcised was an outward show that you was a people of God. He said, you're uncircumcised of heart and ears. You're not a people of God. You become stiff-necked. On over in the book of Acts, the 28th chapter, along this same line. Here in this chapter, Paul goes to Rome. Now, of course, like in most all other places where Paul went on his missionary journeys, he went into the temple most usually first and spoke to the Jews. And when they didn't listen to him, well, then he'd go to the Gentiles. Let's listen to what he says here. what I want to cover about 23 through 28. It says, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he has founded and testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the law of the prophets, from morning till evening. In other words, when Paul came to Rome, he spoke to the Jews first. And in other words, there was word given them that they were supposed to deliver Paul there. And they said, well, we hadn't received any word from the brothers there why this man should be in bonds. But he had his own lodging. And they said, we're going to set up a time that we want to hear you. And that's what they was doing. They'd come to him to hear him in his place of lodging and said, and some believed the things which were spoken and some believed not. And when they agreed that among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken one word, well spoke the Holy Spirit by the Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Well, the 27th, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Here he's talking about the Jews once again. Their eyes, their ears, and their heart become dull. They become hard-hearted. Become stiff-necked. Like I say, there's a fine line in putting Christ off and becoming hard-hearted. So why are all not converted? We know it's not a problem with the gospel. And we know it's not that our sins are too big and too many. And it's not a lack of God's grace. It is a lack of spiritual concern. It's a love for sin. It's a procrastination of putting Jesus off, thinking, well, I'll do it later. And it's by becoming hard-hearted, we get so used to hearing it. And we keep putting it off. So where does this here find you today? Have you been putting Jesus off? Have you been converted? Have you been converted and yet you think has fallen back into the world? Where does it find you? Why all haven't been converted? It's a thought that we all need to ponder. I'll leave the talk with you. If there's anyone here that haven't accepted Jesus, that hadn't been converted, we encourage you to do so. God gave His life for you, that you might be sanctified. No matter how big your sins are or how many, His blood is sufficient. And it can wash away your sins. We invite you to come as we stand and sing.